message, so to speak. The title for the message is Called to Stand in the Gap. Called to Stand in the Gap. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, I'd like to read this passage. Thank you. Beginning in verse 1, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, The city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even into thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which art infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with a stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood, which hath been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will do it, and will do it. And I will scatter thee among the heathen, and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself, in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They're even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin, to the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord God hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. What a dismal picture this chapter brings to us. In verse 30, And I, God, sought for a man among them. It should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. God looked down on the city, and he found things in a deplorable state. What does God see when he looks down on this city? What does he see when he looks down to the city of Altoona, to our communities? What does he see? As we read this passage, the conditions of it seem as bad as the days of Noah. And in one way, it even appears like it's worse, because he could not find a man to stand in the gap. God sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make a hedge, to plead for the people, and he found none. He found none. There was no one to stand and plead for this people. The title of the message is called "To Stand in the Gap." God is looking for men to stand in the gap this morning. He's calling men, holy men, to stand in this gap. This is an interesting theme that we find in different places in the scripture. Godly men preventing God's judgment on a sinful people. We know the story of Abraham pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, and God finally agreeing that if there were 10 righteous, he would spare the city. Scripture also tells us of Moses. He pled for the children of Israel, and God's wrath was turned away from destroying them. But here, God sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Found none. When God looks down on the city of Altoona this morning, does he find men that are standing in the gap? I trust that he does. I believe that he does. And I believe that I am standing before a group of men who want to be found standing in this gap. That is their desire. And I'm thankful for that reality here. It's not our work. It's God's work. And it's marvelous to observe the reality of the kingdom here today and God's work in our hearts today. Because our society needs godly men. There is a dearth of godly men in our communities. As one man quoted to me, the problem in this world is evil men. The solution in this world is godly men. Just think about that. Think about that. Oh, the evil in this world that comes from the heart of unconverted man. Oh, the evil that comes from my unconverted heart. I marvel that our society is as safe as it is with so much ungodliness in it. Will we stand in the gap today, men? Will we be godly men in our homes and in our communities? And in our congregations, when God looks down on the city of Altoona, does he see men that make up a hedge and that stand in the gap so that he does not destroy the city? Will we be spiritual leaders who lead our families in godliness, or will we be overcome by the wicked one? Verse 10 and 11, when God looked down on this city, he saw a great rampant immorality. And I believe when he looks down on this city today, he sees the same thing. Immorality is rampant around us today. Chapter 23 goes on with this very pathetic allegory, sad allegory of two wicked women. And God used this allegory to teach Ezekiel about Samaria and Jerusalem. We see that in verse 4. And God witnessed the men going to these wicked women, defiling themselves with them. It's a very pathetic story. In verse 36, God said unto Ezekiel, Son of man, wilt thou judge these wicked women? Verse 43, Then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, Will they now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her, as they go in unto a woman that playeth a harlot. So went they in unto Ahola and unto Aholibah, the lewd women. And the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them, and will give them to be removed and spoiled. And the company shall stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. And they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. When God looked for a man to stand in the gap, he found none. Instead, he found the men giving themselves to immorality. Chapter 23, it depicts this immorality graphically. But in verse 45, we see that righteous men will condemn. Men who stand in the gap will condemn immorality. It says they will stone these evil women and kill them with swords. God hates immorality, and men who stand in the gap must hate it as well. Men who stand in the gap must hate it as well. If you're standing in the gap this morning, you must hate this. And what I take from this verse is that first, we must deal drastically with this sin. First, we must deal with it in ourselves, and then we must deal with it around us. We must confront it around us as well. Lewdness is on every side of us today. I don't care where you go, you will see it. Immorality flaunts itself everywhere. But men who stand in the gap abhor it. They abhor immorality. Who will stand in the gap this morning? Men, if we stand in the gap, we must face this battle head on. And we must win this battle. There are no POWs in this battle. Don't think that you can be captured by the devil and that God will negotiate for your release of judgment. It will not happen. There are no POWs in this battle. If you lose this battle, you're lost. You must win it. It doesn't work any other way. We must win this battle against immorality in our hearts and around us. Are we standing in the gap, or are we falling to Ahola and Aholibah? Men who stand in the gap are men whom God has made pure. Men who stand in the gap are men who live purely in every area of their life. We must be real with this temptation, men. We must be real with this. We will fall into the hands of these evil women. We must help each other stand in the gap, or we will fall to these evil women. How many of us this morning have a smartphone in our pocket or on our belt? How many of us do? Dare I ask how many of us have used it impurely? Is that a fair question to ask? How many of us have used that impurely? How many of us have used it to find evil women? God forbid that Satan would destroy this group of men through this means. We must be pure. Men who stand in the gap stand as righteous men. Men who stand in the gap protect their families from impurity. They look out for their sons and their daughters. They value and protect the virginity of their children. We dare not mock at this, men, this morning, because around us there are those that have fallen. I'm sure you know of them who have fallen to these evil women. And we each tasted of this sin in one way or the other, but praise God, he can cleanse us. He can clean us up, and he alone can make us pure. If we want to be found standing in the gap when God looks at this city, we must stand as pure men. We must stand as men who hate immorality. When God looked down on this city in verse 25 and 26, he saw corrupt worship. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Corrupt worship. These priests did not discern between what was right and what was wrong, between what was good and what was evil, but instead they mixed it all together. They did not fear God, but lived for the praise of man. God looks for holy worship. God looked for holy worship, but he found none. And if God sees men who stand in the gap this morning, he will see men who worship him wholly. Noah lived in the worst society that has existed on this earth. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis tells us. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And my burden would be that this morning we men would find grace in the eyes of the Lord in this corrupt society that we live in. And we see when Noah came out of the ark, he led his family in worship. He led his family in worship. They built an altar there and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. And God smelled a sweet savor, and it moved him to promise to never smite the earth like that again. Noah led his family in worship. I believe they stood around that altar and worshiped God. They praised him. They adored him. They honored him. This righteous God who had judged the world of its wickedness, but had spared them because they obeyed him. They worshiped him. It was holy worship. It was not corrupt worship. I believe there they had a very keen perception of what was right and what was wrong. Men, do we have corrupt worship this morning? Are we mixing worship of God with worship of mammon? We talked about this in Sunday school class. Am I mixing the holy and the profane in my life? Is my heart pure before God? Or do I have inordinate affections in my life? Have I found grace in the eyes of the Lord this morning? Does God say his lips pray, with his lips he praises me, but his heart is far from me? Are we worshiping God wholly this morning? Men, do we lead our families in holy worship as Noah did? Do we lead our families in holy worship? Is the family altar ablaze in your home? Does God smell a sweet savor rising from your home on a regular basis? Do we lead our families in worship? Do we take the initiative in leading out in worship? Or does our wife have to prod us? Does she have to give you a look and say, are we having devotions tonight? Or perhaps she brings the Bibles and songbooks to you so you get the hint. Say, shame on us if it is that way. Shame on us. Holy men lead their families in holy worship. They lead out in holy worship. It's a tremendous privilege we have this morning, brethren, to lead our families in worship. It is an unparalleled teaching opportunity that we have as our children gather around us. There, our children form their understandings of who God is and Jesus. There they understand good and evil. There they learn to be reverent during worship. There they learn to close their eyes during prayer. There they hear dad and mom pray for them. And there they observe what worship does or does not do for mom and dad. Think about that. Right there in family worship is where your children observe what worship does or does not do for you. Children sense the sincerity of our worship. And it should be a special time for the family. It should be a close time where everyone is gathered around, where children can experience love, warmth, security, safety, and the rest of all. If your family offers sputterings, it's challenging to stand in the gap. Lead your family in worship, in holy worship. Who will teach your children if you don't this morning? Ungodly society is waiting to step in. The apostate church is waiting to influence your family. The neighbor children would love to teach your children what they know. Are you standing in the gap? Are you standing in the gap? In verse 27, God saw these princes acting like wolves, tearing at the prey to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. He saw men who paid no heed to his commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, so with all thy soul, might, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He only saw men who were living by their base instincts. When God sees men standing in the gap, he sees men who are followers of Jesus. He sees men who love peace and not violence. Men who desire to save souls, not destroy them. He sees men who help the needy and do not oppress them. Men who are content with honest gain and abhor dishonest gain. Men who know the sanctity of life and value it from conception. They believe that life is a gift from God and that God has a purpose for every person. Violence is becoming a pandemic in our country. But men who stand in the gap follow the revolutionary example of Jesus, who gave his life so that others could live. Men who stand in the gap teach others the way of Jesus also. In verse 28, we see that the prophets were whitewashing over the sins with lies. And the prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. When God sees men standing in the gap, he sees men who bring their lives into obedience to truth instead of twisting truth to cover their sins. That's what was going on here. These leaders were twisting the truth to cover the sins. They were saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord God hath not spoken. But men who stand in the gap are men who bring their lives into obedience to truth instead of twisting truth to cover their sins. The apostate church is reinventing God, is reinventing God around us. They are rewriting scripture around us to make a God that they're comfortable with. We dare not do that this morning. Men who stand in the gap bring their lives into obedience to Jesus Christ. Are we building our families on the truth of God's word this morning? Are we trusting in a culture to save them? Do we really make decisions in our lives based on what the Bible says? Or are we allowing passing trends and fads to shape and form our applications to biblical truth? What are we doing this morning? Are we leading by God's word or no? History is waiting to be written about the homes at Fourth Avenue. What is written will largely be determined by whether the men stood in the gap or no. I'd like to show you something this morning. If a family has four children and one of the children turns his back on truth and goes astray. And every child after that, the ratio is 75%. How quickly will the descendants of the ungodly be more than the descendants of the godly? How quickly will the descendants of the ungodly be greater than the descendants of the godly? Let me show you this. This is a godly home that has four children. Three choose God's way, and one does not. These children get married, and they each have four children. Three choose God's way, and one does not. The ungodly child gets married and has four children that are ungodly. These three homes each have an ungodly child. Godly children get married. And they each have the same situation. So over here on this side, I have all the godly descendants. But remember, each one of these homes had an ungodly child. So I'll add nine more over to this side. Here we have three and nine, which make 12. Nine times three is 27. We have 39 godly descendants. Over here we have 1, 7 make 8, 7 children, I'm sorry, these have 4, not 3, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4 that had 16 children, these 3 also had 4, so that's 3 and 4 is 12, plus we had 9, so we have 35 ungodly descendants. Seven times four. thought it came out more by the third generation. I'm not sure if I'm missing it or not. But this is just great-grandchildren. This is just great-grandchildren. Parents, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Three generations. It is sobering. It is sobering. The responsibility that lies on us men this morning. Is there a man to stand in the gap? God is looking for men to stand in the gap. Are there men who will stand in the gap? Are there men who will stand in the gap with me this morning? I believe there are. I trust there are. As I studied this message, it gripped my heart. And the points that I taught brought conviction in my heart. Do I abhor immorality? Do I have holy worship? And do I follow after God's ways or the ways of my flesh? That is the question that we as men must answer this morning. When God looks down, will he find men who are standing in the gap? Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal Father, we thank you that we who desire to stand in the gap have a Heavenly Father. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you that enables us to stand in the gap and to be holy men, and to be men who will actually turn your wrath away from the land because of our godliness. God, it humbles us this morning that you look for men like that. And Father, we confess when our heart goes astray. We thank you that you can forgive us and that you can build us up and support us and enable us to stand in the gap. Father, thank you for our families. Give us a burden for the responsibility of bringing them up in your nurture and admonition. Father, thank you for the men who stood in the gap and inspired us this morning. Thank you for men who took your word and lived it out. Father, help us to be that for the next generation. Help us to be godly and to be honest and to follow your word with sincerity and truth. Father, I pray a blessing on the men here this morning, on the fathers, on those that aren't fathers. I pray that you would help us to lead according to your word. Pray that you'd help us to allow you to clean us up, to make us holy men. I pray, God, that you would build us up from inside out. Take away the facades that we like to hide behind and help us to be real with the battles and the challenges we face. I pray in Jesus' name.